We are holding by the first Mishnah on Tzedakah L'chomer Beis. Continuing on the topic of a worker being allowed to eat on the job.
Very appropriate.
Mishnah says about a worker being allowed to eat from what he's working with, from the produce or whatever that he's working with.
Tony, you're the one.
Mishnah says, "Hoya oisa biyada." Remind me, actually, as we go along, that remind me at some point to tell over.
What page is it?
Tzedakah L'chomer Beis. Remind me to tell over a sicha where that ever talks about part of the deeper idea behind this concept of a worker eating.
On the channel.
Yes. So, Mishnah starts off, Hoya oisa biyada vavaloi berdaglov. If the worker is working only with his hands but not his feet, or berdaglov vavaloi biyada, or he's working only with his feet but not with his hands.
There should be more on the other side, I think.
Yeah. So he's working with only his hands but not his feet. So only his feet but not his hands. Working with his feet. You can have, for example, let's say he's treading grapes. I feel a bit safer, even if he's only working with his shoulder, nevertheless he's allowed to eat. As long as he's doing some work over there, yes. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm actually asking the other for Dr. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Dafka, if he's working with his hands and his feet, for reasons which we will discuss in the Gemara.
Not his shoulders.
Not just if he works only with his shoulders, or even only with his hands. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, my timer. What's the Tanakhama's reason why, regardless what body parts you're working with, you're still allowed to eat on the job? Because the Pasuk says, Kisavi b'kerem recha, when you come into your neighbor's vineyard, implying, b'chol ma'ida ovid, you come in there, you work, regardless how you're working, whatever body parts you're using. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, I'm actually Yasu b'yodav v'raglov, my time is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, what's his reason why he says you have to be using yodav v'raglov? Because he says, ki shur, because he says you have to have the worker is similar in that sense to a shur. Now, when a shur works, ma shur, actually yasub yodav v'raglov, just like a shur, when it's doing work, is working with its hands and its feet, because that's how a shur works, when it threshes. Ask poil, actually yasub yodav v'raglov, the same thing. For the poil to be allowed to eat, he has to be using hands and feet.
The pasuk says, but we also explain
that we learn back and forth between the poil and the shur. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, only whatever applies to a shur, like Saxon shur b'dishay, is what's going to apply to a poil as well. Since a shur uses all four of its extremities, then so does that poil have to be doing that as well.
So the shur has to,
we don't. That's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, nevertheless, you still have that comparison. Yeah. Okay. Boy Rabbi Barav Huna. Dosh ba'avzin v'tana gerlam l'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda ma'u. So what would be the din? What would be the din if you're using geese or chickens to do your threshing for you? They only use their feet. Do we say, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the animal needs to be working with both hands and feet to be able to be allowed to eat? Well, b'chol koicha b'inin b'harika, do you need the animal is working with its full strength? Well, in the case of a chicken or a goose, that's how it works. It's only its feet. It's using its full strength. Therefore, it should be allowed to eat. You're not allowed to muzzle it. Or maybe he says you actually need hands and feet, and nothing less than that will do.
So chicken,
and therefore chicken, you would be allowed to muzzle. And the answer is teiku. So again, if you were to muzzle it, you wouldn't be. You also too, but you wouldn't be chayav malchus if you do. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba. Since we're mentioning in the Mishnah about workers who work only with their feet, let's say, which, for example, how do you work only with your feet? Is, let's say, you're pressing grapes, they would tread on them with their feet. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba, Poilim ad shalei hilchu shefi ve'eda v'gaf, up before the workers have walked to and fro, have walked this way and that way through the vat. Now, like this, what happens when you're pressing grapes? You gather up all the grapes, you put them in the press, and then you have the workers go and start treading on them. At some point, all you have in there is grapes. Eventually, grape juice starts flowing, which eventually is going to become wine. At what point are they allowed to drink the wine? Are they allowed to drink the grape juice? So he says like this, until they've walked Shesi Ve'edim, until they've walked at least one time this way, through the press, once across and once across this way and once across this way. Up until that point, up till that point, they're allowed to eat grapes, but they're not allowed to yet drink the juice because they're not working with the juice yet. It's not considered that they're working with the juice. Once they walk through the wine press, then already there's a noticeable amount of juice. It's a noticeable amount of juice. Therefore, now at that point, they're allowed to eat grapes as well as they're allowed to drink wine, because as we will learn in the next Mishnah now, which we're going to learn, you're only allowed to eat from the type of produce that you're working with. So until they've walked Shesi to Erev, there's not enough juice to be noticeable effectively. Therefore, it would be as if they're working with grapes and drinking wine, which is also. They're only allowed to eat. Once they've walked Shesi to Erev through it, then you already have a noticeable amount of juice. So then, yeah. So that brings us to the next Mishnah. If you're working with figs, you're not allowed to meanwhile eat grapes. Or if you're working with grapes, you're not allowed to at the same time eat figs that are growing nearby. But you are allowed to hold yourself back till you get to the better quality ones and eat over there. You can say, for example, like this.
Can you pick them without eating them?
No, because that would be Valkali Chalasit. No, you're picking them as in order to eat them. You can only pick what you're going to eat. But the point is, in other words, like this, you would figure to yourself, let's say, I would be capable of eating, let's say, a pound of grapes while I'm working over here. Instead of eating a little here, or whatever, from the different quality grapes, I'm going to wait till I get to there, like we learned yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
You can wait till you get, let's say, the ends of the road where it'll be where the grapes will be better quality, and I'll eat the whole pound of grapes from there, let's say. You're allowed to do that.
As I'm a member of the
Now, all of this that we're saying, though, that you're all of this that we're saying that you're allowed to eat is only b'shas malacha, only while you're working. But for the sake of returning an aveda to the owner, meaning you don't want the guy to be sitting and wasting time while he's working. So Rashi learns like this. In other words, you can't say at some point, okay, I'm going to take a break and now I'm going to use my heter to eat. You're not allowed to do that. So now I'm going to sit down, I'm going to eat, then I'm going to take off some time. You can't do that. But because of Hoshav Aved Labailim, for the sake of returning a lost object to the owner, in other words, for the sake of that there shouldn't be wasted time, if he's going to be eating literally while he's working, it's going to affect the quality of his work. Therefore, because of that, Amru, the Chachamim said, Toilin Oichlin Bahalichos and Mu'uman La'uman, the workers are allowed to eat while they're walking from one row to the next. So let's say they finished harvesting one row, let's say they're going on to the next one. Now, while they're walking to the next row, they're not literally working. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said they're allowed to eat while they're walking over there, because that's better for the Balabas. Less time is being taken off work.
Because
they're eating as they're going, rather than eating while they're working. Yeah. In other words, like this. Minat Torah, what would happen is like this. They would have to, this is the way Rashi learns it. I'll tell you in a second that Rambam learns it a little differently. According to Rashi and Raivet and most of the Shonim, it comes out like this. In other words, Minat Torah, what would have to be is, let's say, while you're harvesting the grapes, with one hand, let's say, you're eating grapes with your other hand. But it's going to affect the quality of your work. Therefore, the Chachamim said, in order to not affect the quality of the work, now you're talking not allowed to say, okay, I'm just going to. You're talking not allowed to just say that. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take time off work. That you're not, because that would be not b'shas malacha. Minat Torah, you would have to actually literally b'shas malacha. Midrabanan, because of Hashem Aved Labaylim, we're going to say, fine, you can take some grapes. And you'll wait a minute. Once you finish harvesting this row, and you're on your way walking over to the next row, you'll eat them as you're walking. It's not during the actual time of work, but the Chachamim say it's better to do that, and that way you're not affecting the quality of your work. The Rambam learns it somewhat differently. The Rambam learns that the seheter that the worker has to eat on the job is, let's say, for example, you're harvesting grapes. Once you've filled up the basket, and you're taking it over to where it's going to be pressed, that is the point when you'd be allowed to eat Minat Torah. The Chachamim are saying that you're allowed to eat again while you're in the middle of filling up the basket, while you're walking from one row to another, for the same reason, in order not to waste too much time.
Sure,
it's a very good. Similarly, a donkey is allowed to eat while when the load is being taken off it. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. The Chachamim had a question as follows. What about, let's say, you're working on one grapevine. Are you allowed to, at that time, be eating grapes off another grapevine? So Rashi says, let's say, for example, that you go over, you find a particularly nice-looking grapevine, so you cut some grapes off it for yourself to eat, then you walk over to the other vine, which you're going to be harvesting right now, and you eat from that one while you're working on that one. You're allowed to do that. Do we say, min shapenosim kiliyah shabalabayis v'inan? Do we say all you need is it should be the same min that you're putting into the kelim of the balabas, v'ha'ika, and then you have that. Unlike our Mishnah that mentioned, for example, figs versus grapes, which you can't do that, it's a different minim. Here it's the same min at least. Or maybe it needs to be what you're actually putting into the kelim is what you're going to be eating from, v'ha'leka, and here you don't have it because it's a different vine. And the Gemara says, v'imtim tzaloymar,
there's two rows. One is white and one is red.
Okay, so there are mafarshim that talk about that. Some of the mafarshim say the pashtos, different colors of grapes might be considered one min. But if we answer in our Gemara, we're going to have to figure out what the answer is. If the answer is you're allowed to, then fine. In that case, that might be considered one min. If you're not allowed to anyway, then it's a moot point. You anyway can't take grapes from a different vine. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you're going to tell me that if you're working on one vine, you're not allowed to work on a different one, you have to ask, you have to ask the chlal. We learned before that a shur is allowed to eat from mechubar, from something that's still attached to the ground, which is working on. If you're going to say that you can't eat from one grapevine while you're working another, then how would you ever have a case where a shur can eat from mechubar anyway? Namely, Rashi explains, like this you have, for example, say we have what's an ox or other animal doing in the vineyard during the harvest. So we've learned before, Rashi mentioned a couple of times that it was very common in those days. You might harvest the vineyard using a wagon pulled by an ox. The workers would be harvesting the grapes and putting them in the wagon. So what's going to happen? The ox is here. The wagon is here. The ox is in front of these grapevines. The workers are in front of these grapevines and are cutting them and putting them in the wagon. If you're going to say you can't eat from a different grapevine, the ox is not going to be allowed to eat anyway. So the chorda, that should prove that you are allowed to. Tosfos explains the question of the Gemara somewhat differently. Let's say, for example, the animal is threshing. If it's threshing, for whatever reason, you're threshing the grain while it's still attached to the ground. Now, I guess it would be unusual to do that. Usually you harvest it first. But okay, let's say it's doing some kind of work, like threshing or whatever, that's where it's still attached to the ground. So then each stalk of grain or whatever is its own thing. So how are you going to have? You're threshing one. How would you be allowed to eat from the other one? Bechora, again, that proves that you should be able to. You're eating from one, you should be able to. You're working on one, you should be able to eat from the other.
Because you feel a little tested, right?
That's the question. If you say, for example, that while you're working on this stalk of wheat, you can be eating from the other stalk of wheat, okay, so the animal is threshing these stalks. Meanwhile, there's these stalks available for it to eat, so fine, good. But otherwise, how is it physically going to eat from the ones that it's actually threshing at the moment? That's our choice, explains it. So Rav Shisha Breidi Rav Idi answers, you could be talking about, let's say, for example, you have a very long branch. So according to Rashi, in other words, let's say, for example, you have one very long grapevine branch where the workers are working at one end of the branch, picking the grapes off it, meanwhile and putting it in front of they're over here by the wagon. Meanwhile, the ox's head is over here, but it's the same long branch that extends all the way to there. Conceivably, yes, the ox would eat off that one. Maybe that's the only case the Torah is not there, the ox eating. Or according to Tosfos, similar idea. Let's say, for example, you have a very, very long stalk of grain. So as the animal is threshing at one end of it, meanwhile, it can be eating from the other end of it. The point is that you could say, so you can't necessarily prove that in fact you should be able to eat from a different stalk of grain or a different bunch of grapes or whatever than the actual one you're working with. Tashma, come, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. We say if you're working with figs, you're not allowed to eat grapes. But it seems to imply if you're working on two different, if there are two different fig trees over here, in a way where it would be similar to figs and grapes. Figs and grapes obviously grow on different trees, on different plants. And we're saying you're working with one, you can't eat with the other one. But the implication is if you have two fig trees over there and you're working on one, you're allowed to eat from the other one, l'chora. L'chora, you're allowed to. V'amet osu begefen ze'ena oichel
b'tree.
That's the question.
But if you have a fig tree and a date tree, you cannot.
That's the point is, the Mishnah is mentioning if you're working on figs, you can't eat olives, because not only they're different species, but they're on different trees. But the implication is, in other words, that if you had two different fig trees over there, and you're working on one, l'chora, it sounds like you should be able to eat from the other one, because at least it's all the same species. Yeah? Well, that's the question. Again, if you're going to say that if you're working on one grapevine, you're not allowed to eat from the other one, what's the scenario where the Mishnah would be implying that you'd be allowed to? And again, you could have, let's say, for example, in the case in our Mishnah where it mentions Te'enim Vanovim, yes, obviously they grow on two different plants. But let's say, for example, the two plants are intertwined. Let's say, not so much intertwined, but let's say, for example, you can have grapevines, you know, grapevines themselves, if you let them to grow naturally, they would spread all over the ground. That it does make for a good quality fruit. In fact, for example, for the Nesachim, they definitely needed to use grapevines that were grown that way. But usually, people would, when they cultivate grapevines, they usually train them to grow onto something. They put up a fence and they grow onto that, or they put up some kind of framework or whatever. Another possibility is you can have another tree over there that you train the grapevine to grow up to grow up that, and it crawls up that kind of. So let's say you have a fig tree with a grapevine trained onto it.
And by the way, that's not
Kalayim. It's not Kalayim because Kalai Elon is only also, the only kind of Kalai Elonis that's also is grafting a branch of one species onto a trunk of another one. Any other kind, planting two fruit seeds together or training one onto the other one is not also. Even Midrabana. In the case of fruit trees, where it's fruits versus vegetables or whatever, that's different. We're not going to get into that right now, but yeah. The point is, let's say so you have a fig tree with a grapevine trained to grow onto it, or vice versa. So now you have, when you're picking the grapes, necessarily you're dealing with the fig tree also. You're moving the branches aside or whatever. You would think maybe that's the point of the Mishnah. In other words, you would think in that case you are in a certain sense working with both of them, because one you're harvesting from and the other one you're moving the branches aside. Maybe you should be able to eat from it. The Chiddush is, even in that case, no. But you can't prove from that if the two of them were literally, the Mishnah, in other words, wouldn't have to be telling us that if the fig tree and the grapevine have nothing to do with each other, they're not connected at all, that you shouldn't be allowed to eat from one when you're working on the other one. There's no chiddush in that. And in that case, you can't prove anything from that on two separate fig trees or two separate grapevines where one is not touching the other. Tashma. But the Mishnah continued, you're not allowed to eat from a different tree, but you're allowed to hold yourself back to eat till you get to the good quality fruit and eat from that. If you're going to say that anyway, when you work on one grapevine, you're allowed to eat from a different one, so like Rashi said before, you can pick the grapes from one, walk over to the other one, and eat over there, if you were allowed to do that. Why then tackle? What do you mean what do you mean Menea Sasma? You don't have to be Menea Sasma. You can walk over to the good ones, pick one of the good ones, and then continue eating with it while you're working on the not so good ones. The fact that the Mishnah is not telling us you can do that seems to imply you tackle can't do that. The only thing you can do, if you want the good grapes, you have to actually wait till you're working on them. Okay. Gemara says no. No, because we have no question. Obviously, where it involves bitul malacha, where you're wasting time from work to actually walk over to the good grapevine and take from it, and then take the cluster of grapes from it, and then walk back to where you were working, where meanwhile time is being wasted. Of course, that's not allowed.
But for different reasons.
No, we're not talking about doing his lunch break. And again, we're talking about based on the dinim of poyalocha. We just said you're only allowed to eat b'shas malacha. So like this, you're definitely not allowed to take off time from where you're definitely not allowed to slack off in the middle of your work in order to take from the good grapevine. That there's no question. The question we have is rather, like we said yesterday, let's say his wife and kids are there in the vineyard with him. So while he's working, one of them conceivably could go over there, break off some of the grapes, some of the good grapes, and walk over to him. No time is being wasted from work. He's still continuing. He's still hard at work. Are they allowed to do that? That's the question, whether such a thing would be allowed or not. So you can't prove that. There's no issue of bitul malacha.
If he can work from one to
another. If we're saying that while he's working on one, he's allowed to eat from another one, as long as somebody else is bringing it to him, well, then fine. So that could be done without bitul malacha. Whereas if you say that not, then not, it would mean they'd be also to do that.
That could be the chiddush.
That's the question. Yeah. Mai, so what's the din? Tashma. V'kulam lo omru ela b'shas malacha. Our Mishnah continued and said, all of these cases where we're saying that you're allowed to eat is only b'shas malacha, only while you're working. Again, while you're working, literally while you're working, like you're working with one hand and eating with the other, according to Rashi and everybody else, or while you're working in the sense that, like, once you've finished filling up the basket and you're walking it over to the press or whatever, according to the Rambam. Avo, what we said in the Mishnah, for the sake of Hashavas Aveda, in order that as little time of the Balabas should be wasted as possible, Omru, they said, the Polim are allowed to eat while they're walking from one row to another, and while they're returning from the valley, after they dropped off their load of grapes over there, let's say, on their way back, they're allowed to be eating, because that way they're not wasting time. Now, for purposes of the question, Savruha, we think to say, when you're walking like this, for example, you're walking from one row to the next, you're not actually doing the work right now, but it's for you going to the sake of work, you're commuting to the next part of the job, basically. So we assume, for purposes of the question, it's considered as if you're actually doing the maisa, you're actually working at that point, because after all, you are. You're walking to the next row for the sake of the job, in order to prepare yourself to do the next year. And what is the Mishnah saying? We're only saying that at that point, while you're walking from row to row, you're only allowed to eat mitzadas hakanas chachamim, midaraisa loy also, but midaraisa at that point, it sounds like you're not allowed to eat. Now, why not? Alma oisa begefen ze'ona oicha begefen achar. L'chura, that proves that while you're working on one grapevine, you can't eat from another. In this case, in other words, while you're walking from one row to another, where there are no grapes that you're working on right now, midaraisa you're not allowed to eat. It's between one part of the malacha and the next, but you're still walking for the sake of the malacha. Right. If we say that at that point you are oisa maisa, you still are considered a poil at that point. However, you're not working on an actual grapevine, therefore there's nothing for you to eat. Midrabbanan was saying you're allowed to. Well, then that should prove by the same logic, if you are actually working on this grapevine, you can't be eating from this one. Same logic. The Gemara says, no, you could argue that maybe even you're working on one vine, you're allowed to eat on another vine. The difference is, you assume that when you're walking from one row to another, at that point, you're considered on the clock, that you are actually doing work for the Balabas at that point. Don't consider it that way. Look at it as you're not actually doing work for the Balabas at that point. Practically speaking, you have to be walking from one row to another because you have to get there. But you can't be considered to be at work during those few seconds that you're walking. Therefore, you're not at work. You don't have the right to eat midaraisa. Only midrabanan will you given the right to eat. You can't prove from a case where you are at work harvesting from this vine about being able to eat from that one. You can't prove one way or the other.
Like in Zvachim Halacha, it's not one of the four
avodim. Yeah, it is.
No, it's five without. Because you could do it right on the basis of English Kabbalah.
You still no. The Gemara mentions that you still need halacha. Even no, you still need halacha.
But you could do it right next to the.
Okay, whatever. Okay.
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 You're not on the next row yet.
Right. Well, that's the point of the right. One way we started by assuming that while you're walking to that row, you're still considered to be working for the Balabas. You're still earning your pay. You're not actually working on a grapevine right now. You're doing a different kind of work. You're doing the work of walking over. According to the first way we looked at it, we thought it is considered Shas Malacha. Now we're arguing the second way it's not considered Shas Malacha. Okay.
Ikadam. So it's the first way or this way?
No, we can't prove one way or the other. So maybe, no, we haven't finished yet. Right. Ikadamri, or another version of the discussion went like this. Savru Mahalach Lavka Isamai Sadami. We started with the assumption the other way around, that when you're walking, it's not considered that you're working for the Balabas at that point. So that explains why you're not allowed to eat the daraisa on a daraisa level while you're walking from row to row. Mishum delavka oisa maisa dummy, because you're not doing any work at that time. Ha oisa maisa ocha midaraisa. It sounds like, though, if you were to be working, anytime you're working, you're allowed to eat midaraisa. Alma oisa begefen zaycha begefen acha, which would show, therefore, that if you're doing work on one grapevine, you'd be allowed to eat from another. And again, the answer is loy. Is now we go back to the original assumption. Maybe if you're working on one vine, you're not allowed to eat from the other. We should assume that while you're walking from one row to another, you are considered to be at work. But The reason you're not allowed to, the reason you're not allowed to eat is because you're not harvesting any particular vine at that point. Therefore, there's no vine for you to eat from. So the Gemara leaves,
like we said previously.
Like, yeah, you know, it's just two different lashonis. Did we start off with one assumption and then come to the other one, or did we start off with the other assumption and come back to the first one? Yeah, it's two different lashonis and how their argument went. So the Gemara left it. The Gemara leaves it unresolved and explicitly say takeover. That's effectively what it is, and therefore, the halacha is you're not allowed to eat from one grapevine while you're working on another. On the other hand, if you do, then we don't, according to most of the Shoinim. What?
Do we say it's a...
No, so that because it's only a suffix, if it was vada that you're not allowed to, you would have to reimburse the balabas for it.
Right.
Because it's only a suffix, most of the Shoinim say, hamotz mechavela v'raya, therefore he can't take it back from you. You can't force him to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. We also have a situation where right now he's working with, you've got Spodu, you've got India, and he's working on one type of grapes, different category grapes. Spodu is India.
Yeah, but no, I mean, that's what we said before, that he can wait till he gets the better grapes, whatever. But yeah.
That's how they're working on. He's working on cheap grapes, so make wine out of it.
Okay, the Mishnah continued with a hamor kshehi peretis, that a donkey can eat when it's being unloaded. If you're unloading it, how is it going to eat? Meaning, Rashi says the question is a practical one. You unload the whole animal at once. At that point, what is there for it to eat? There's nothing. You unload it. You take all the sacks away. There's nothing left for it to eat at that point. The Ritva explains the question is really on a halacha level. Once you unload it from the animal is not working anymore. Once it's not working anymore, it's not b'shas malacha. How does it have the right to eat?
But what did we say? You unload, there's nothing to eat. What do you mean?
No, meaning in other words, from what it had on its back. You unloaded everything on its one that was on its back. You took it away. At that point, there's nothing of that load left for it to eat.
While you unload.
That's the answer. Ema ad chate perdekis. Rather, what you have to explain the Mishnah means the donkey is allowed to eat until it is unloaded. It's allowed to eat from what was on its back. Tanena lahad etanan abanan. Thus, we learn in the Mishnah what it says more explicitly in a braisa. Chamor v'gamol oichem imasir shagabeyev, that a donkey or a camel are allowed to eat from the load that's on their back. Uvovad shalayutzel v'yada ve'achilim, but you're not allowed to take something from the packages over there and put it in the animal's mouth because that's not b'shas malacha.
Well, you could say it is b'shas malacha because
the animal is carrying it. Fine,
carrying the rest.
Okay, but you are not. When we say
like facts and show the dish, it means the animal has to be able to eat out itself, not that you feed it.
So therefore, you know, the animal can turn around and like nibble like that, whatever.
It's hanging over, maybe.
Yeah, it's hanging over on the side. Yeah, whatever.
Hard one.
Mishnah says, Oichol poyo kishus afilo b'dinner. The worker is allowed to eat a pumpkin, or a melon, whatever the exact translation of kishus is, afilo b'dinner, even if it's worth a dinner, which is much more than he's getting paid. Or kesevis afilo b'dinner. He can eat dates even to a dinner's worth. Again, much more than he's getting paid. Rabbi Elazar Chisma, imelo yoichol poyo yosef. Rabbi Elazar Chisma says that no, a worker is not allowed to eat
more than he's paid.
That's what the Tanakhama is saying. He's allowed to. In other words, don't laugh. In other words, he's getting paid, let's say, $10 an hour. So he's working there for an hour, let's say. So he's supposed to be earning $10. He would be allowed, if he wanted, he would be allowed to eat $15 worth of produce. So then it means that he gets a salary of $10 as well as he gets $15 worth. Yeah.
Bitul Malacha, in a way.
No, it's not Bitul Malacha. He's working while he's eating. Wait, Rabbi Elazar Chisma Omer Lo Yosef Poyo. Rabbi Elazar Chisma Omer Lo Yosef Poyo Yosef. All right, Rabbi Elazar Chisma says no. A worker is not allowed to eat more than the amount he's getting paid. V'chachamim matirin. The chachamim say it's mutter. Ava melamdin et ha'adam shelo yehei rabson. However, we the chachamim teach a person not to be a glum. That's a passive fine. He's going to close up the door in his presence. In other words, nobody's going to want to hire a person who, yeah. So the question is, Chachamim Hainu Tanakama, aren't the Chachamim, when we say the Chachamim Matirian, aren't they repeating exactly what the Tanakama said? What's the difference between them? The answer is, Ikibinayu Alva Malamdin. The Nakamina between them might be on this that the Mishnah is saying that we teach him. What?
Between the Tanakama and the Chachamim,
yes. The difference would be, this Avo Malamdin, this that we say that we, this Avo Malamdin, this that we're saying that we teach the person to not be a glutton. The Tanakhama less le melamdin. The Rabbanon is for who melamdin. The Tanakhama does not hold of this concept of melamdin. So the Rabbanon, the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah, do hold of this. Now, question is, what is melamdin? This that the Mishnah said, we teach him to not be a glutton. So the Tanakhama would hold, I don't hold of that concept. So there's no limitations placed on him. Don't even be melamed him. Don't teach him. Don't teach him there's anything wrong with eating more than it's chal. No, in other words, they're saying there's no need to, there's no reason to. The Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah say there is reason to. Now, what's the logic to say that we shouldn't give him? What's the logic to say that we shouldn't give him Eitzah Tova? So there's an interesting explanation so first of all, one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yohanesson, says since the Torah doesn't put any limitation on him eating, according to the Chachamim and according to the Tanakhama, we shouldn't put any limitation on him. And then there's a very, very interesting idea brought from the Sefer Yad David. The author of this Yad David, by the way, is worth talking about a second. He has an interesting story in itself. I don't know how many people over here have heard about Napoleon's Sanhedrin.
I do.
So at some point during the time when Napoleon was the emperor of France, at one point he decided he was going to gather together a bunch of Jewish notables in his kingdom and create so-called the Sanhedrin in order to ratify specific laws for Jews in his kingdom. So, for example, the outlaw things that he wanted them to, for example, to outlaw taking ribbis from Goyim and to various other things that he felt that'll make the Jews more quote-unquote civilized. Well, who the members of the Sanhedrin were, some of them were good people, some of them not such good, whatever. Well, a Sanhedrin needs a leader. So he had one of the Rabbanim in the kingdom at that time was the Rav of Strasbourg, named Rav David Zinsheim. And he became, this Rav David Zinsheim became the head of this so-called Sanhedrin. He did what he could to not make, you know, to not allow their stuff to become too official or whatever. You know, he had to kind of tread a fine line between following halacha and not getting in trouble with Napoleon. Anyway, he wrote Chidushim on Bava Metzia and a couple of other masechtas. He points out an interesting idea like this. He says, if we were to tell the Chachamim, say like this, the Chachamim of our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, who does not hold the concept of Melamdin, he says like this, given that Rabbeinu Yohanesson points out, that the Torah does not impose any limitations on the amount the poyo can eat. If we were to be melamed him, if we were to tell him, you know what, the fact of the matter is, if you're a glutton, nobody's going to want to hire you, that would amount to saying the Torah left out something. That would amount to saying the Torah gave us halacha. But the Torah didn't fully know, you know, chas v'shalom to say, the Torah didn't know what it was talking about. We chachamim have better advice for you. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah says, chas v'shalom to say such a thing, Torah Hashem tzmima. Whereas the chachamim in the later part of the Mishnah say it's not such a problem to do that. So that's one possibility. Or another possibility, the difference, the argument between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim or Mishnah might be the point that Rav Asi says. Even if a balabas hires a worker to only harvest one single cluster of grapes, he's allowed to eat that cluster. Maybe not the whole cluster, the Meiri says, maybe only part of it, but still. V'omer Rav Asi, and furthermore Rav Asi says, even if he was hired to harvest lots of clusters, but he only ended up harvesting one, also Oichlo, he's also allowed to eat it. And the Gemara says, Tzricha. By the way, we need both these dinim of Rav Asi. Because if we were only told Rav Asi's first din, where you were hired to harvest one cluster, you would say the reason why you're allowed to eat it, mishum de loika lemeis of lekelev shabala bais, because you don't have anything else to put into the balabas's kelim. Therefore, we'll allow you to eat it. Fine. Aval hecha de ika lemeis of lekelev shabala bais. But wait,
the only one he has.
No, but wait. But where there is others that are going to be put into the kelim of the balabas, ema leis b'reish of ahadu lechel, you would think maybe we would tell him first you have to put into the balabas's kelim. Only then will we allow you to eat. So maybe if he's been hired to harvest five of them, for example, and he only harvested one so far, we might tell him, don't eat that one. Wait till you put that one into the basket. Then the second one you can go and start eating. As opposed to if he's only hired for one, then you would say maybe, yes. the Iyash Min and Baha, and conversely, if we were only told the second did, you would say, you would say, you know why he's allowed to eat that first one that he picked? Because after all, there will be afterwards. He's going to pick a second and a third one and whatever, which he can end up putting into the Kalim Milabalabal. But if he's only hired to harvest one, there isn't going to be the possibility of being Makayim at the notes on the Caleb Shabalabayas that you're putting in as the Balabas' Caleb at the end. Amaloy, so you would think maybe not, maybe he's not allowed to eat that one at all. Tzricha, and that is why we need both the Ravasi's din. Now, so the point is, therefore, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, who says generically that you can eat that filibid dinner without specifying anything about Shaloy Yehei Ravtan, Malamdanoy, so he would say that even if you were hired to harvest only one single kishus, which is worth a dinner, you're allowed to eat that kishrus. He would agree with Rav Asi's din. On the other hand, the Chachamim of our Mishnah would say that, yes, sure, you're allowed to eat more than what you're hired for, but if you're hired to harvest only the one pumpkin, no, you're not allowed to eat it. We would disagree with Rav Asi's din. So that would be the difference between them. If it was a small one. And again, not necessarily the kishrus a pumpkin. I mean, I'm using it as
a cucumber.
A cucumber could be, yeah. Whatever. Iboy same ikibenar de Rab. Yet another possibility is that maybe the Nachkamina between the Tanakama and the Chachamim is about what Rab said. The Omer Rab Matsosi Megillah Storim Bei Rav Chiya. I found a hidden Megillah in the house or in the yeshiva of Rav Chiya. What is a hidden Megillah? So Rashi says like this. We know that it used to be Teresh Baal Peh was not supposed to be written, but people can forget. So when a person heard a halacha, which was a real chiddush to him, he would write down a private note of it. It was called a Megillah Sturim because it had to stay hidden away. It wasn't meant for public consumption, but he himself could write it down in order that he doesn't forget it. So Rav says, I found such a Megillah in the house, or in the yeshiva of Rav Chiya, the Kosovon, it said it in as follows. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, when the Pasuk says, Ki Sove b'kerem re'echa, when the Pasuk says, if you come into your neighbor's vineyard, not like we've been talking about all these last five blocks that it means about a worker. The B.S. Ko Adam Akosa B'daber. The Pasuk is talking about anybody who walks into somebody else's vineyard is allowed to pick fruit and eat it.
Oh, wow.
But Omer Rav, and Rav says on that, L'shovet Isi Chayev Choberia, Isi is not allowing anybody to live. If people are going to come and then strip another person's vineyard bare, yeah. The point is, therefore, that the Tanakhama would not hold of Isi's din because this is how Rashi learns it. The Tanakhama would not hold of this drasha of Isi's because he would say that the Mishnah started off Oichol Poyo Kishrus Afilu B'Dinner. Only if you're a worker are you allowed to eat. Not if you stam walk into the field.
Not everybody.
The Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah, when we say the Chachamim Matirin, means the Chachamim say, look, even if you walked in and you're not being hired at all, you're allowed to eat. How much more so if you're hired that you're allowed to eat more than your schar? But malam denoise to not prevent people from hiring you. Then Hagoyes Agro brings that the Rosh understands it the other way around. The Tanakhama might agree with Isi and say that it's talking about anybody, and the Chachamim who say malam denoise would say that it only applies to a worker. Because the Chachamim, at the end of the Mishnah, are more stringent, yeah.
Yes, but then what's the whole point of the one who's working when he's walking to the next row?
According to Isi Ben Yehuda, none of that applies. But you walk into somebody's vineyard, you're allowed to pick some grapes and eat them.
That sounds gross, because then the whole group of people...
That was the question. Lo shavik Isi chai l'choberia. Wait, Omer Ravashi, Amrita l'shmaita kamedi Rav Kahana. I told over this discussion to Rav Kahana, who was his Rebbe, and the question was, Duma b'oisin b'sudosan d'ovdu v'ochlu. Maybe even Isi ben Yehuda is not literally talking about somebody just randomly walks into somebody else's vineyard. Maybe he's talking about a specific case where, let's say, you have people who go into the vineyard and they volunteer to pick the grapes, like, in order that the balabas will give them a meal. So maybe we're not talking, even he's maybe not talking about Islam walking. We're still talking about that you're doing it for the sake of
Megillah, and the author of Megillah wasn't there. They just found it.
Right.
So we don't know what he meant to write.
That's what we're trying to figure out. Yeah. Amali and Rav Kahana answered, Rav Ashi says, Rav Kahana answered me, Afilo Hochi, even if so, Rav still has a point when he says Lashavik Isi Chai Lachalderia, because Nichalei LeInish LaOgra Guriv Niktchei LaParis, because a person would be better off. A person would rather hire workers to harvest his vine, rather than having just people voluntarily come and start picking them and
like
eating them.
To wash your window.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They break
it. Yeah, so you're better off. A person would still rather hire workers and know that he's going to get a certain amount of work out of them, and he's going to pay them a certain salary or whatever, rather than just some people are going to wander in and start doing his harvest for him.
So the end is
we don't accept what Isi Ben Yehuda says, even to the extent of Ochlin Besudasan. The fact is, the halacha is, it only applies to a poyel that comes into a vineyard. Now they had a question as follows. All this that we're talking about, that the worker is allowed to eat on the job, is it that he's eating something that essentially belongs to him? Meaning, in other words, like this, he's being paid X amount per hour or whatever. The grapes or the grain or whatever it is that he's eating on the job, we're talking about, that he's eating from the balabosses. Are we saying that essentially it's, the Torah is saying, like this, for example, he arranged with the balabas that he's going to be paid, let's say, $10 an hour. The Torah is increasing his salary. The Torah is saying you're entitled to $10 an hour, as you made up, plus you're entitled to whatever food you can eat. Is that would be called Mishaloi Huachol. Or do we say that you're eating Mishal Shemayim, but it's like any Matnas Anim. It's purely a Gmilos Chesed. And it's purely a Gmilos Chesed. Just like Leket, just like the rest of those, yeah. Lamai Nachimina, what would be the practical difference between those two possibilities? Dama Tznula Ishti Uvanai. Let's say, for example, the guy says, I don't want to eat it myself. Instead, give it to my wife or children. Well, if we say it's an increase in the salary that the Torah is giving him, fine, then sure he's allowed to. Same way as he'd be allowed to tell the balabas, out of the $10 an hour that I'm being paid, take two of it and give it to my wife. The same way you can do with the extra like this. But if you say that it's mina shemayim, that it's a special gminas chesed for him, well then, the Torah is mezakeh to him, not to his wife and children, unless they're working also, obviously, yeah. Before we continue with the discussion, by the way, here's a good point to talk about briefly, a sticha in Chelek Lamed Daled, where it ever analyzes this whole matter of poel oichel. It turns out, actually, when we started learning the whole topic a few days ago, we talked about a few different ways that we understand from the positive. We just said that Isi Ben Yehuda says it applies to anybody who wanders into a vineyard. We said that's not the halacha. How tacit do we know it applies to a worker? There's three different ways. We had Or Gemara said we learned it from Gzeira Shavah, from the word Kisavai. We have the Yerushalmi mentions the concept, which we also briefly mentioned in Or Gemara, that when you're putting into the kalim of the balabas is when you're allowed to eat it. Then don't put it into your own kalim, implying at the time when you're putting it into the balabas's kalim. And the Rambam says, just practically speaking, Kisavai b'kerem na'echa implies, what are you doing there without permission? What are you doing trespassing over there? Obviously, it means you came in order to do work. So the Rebbe analyzes that in terms of, there's actually three different ways that you could say that there's actually three different approaches you could take to this business of the fact that the worker is allowed to eat. You can say it's a schar it's a schar on top of his salary. You can say that it's something that's given to him for his hard work, not necessarily. And the difference is the first one, he's getting paid X amount for the actual work, for the actual useful work that he's doing. The second is you're doing work on behalf of a fellow yid, so therefore the Torah gives you something extra. Or the third could be that it's purely a matana. So that fits in with the two possibilities over here. The first way, and the Rebbe analyzes how the three limudim of it reflect those three different ways that you could look at it. If we say it's mishaloi u'oichol, then it means that if we say that you're getting it as an extra salary for your work, that's mishaloi u'oichol. If you say you're getting it purely as a favor min hashamayim, that's the second one, mishal shamayim. And if you say you're getting it because of your hard work, because you're working on behalf of a fellow yid, then it could really go either way. Then it could really fit with mishal shamayim or mishaloi u'oichol.
It only applies to here. Let's say you have a workplace, someone works in a supermarket and there's fruits, and he's working there.
So we said that first of all, it only applies to gedulei character, but second of all, it only applies until gemar malacha lemaisa. Once gemar malacha lemaisa is done, then you don't have permission to. You can make up with the balabas that you'll be allowed, but the thing minatora won't apply at that point. Yeah. And then, by the way, that ever continues on a deeper level, the idea behind it, you know, Yamashu Oisar, at least Alaxis, whatever mitzvah the Eivishter gives us, he himself fulfills also. We're working on behalf of the Eivishter in his vineyard or his field, as the case may be. Therefore, when we say that the worker is allowed to eat on the job, that reflects the idea that we find the famous thing that Amram talks about. The Eivishter promises throughout the Torah that if we do mitzvahs, we'll have the various good things of Olam Haza. That's not the real reward of the mitzvahs. The real reward is Olam Haza, and Law said lovely. This is alderach, like the worker eating on the job. And then the Rebbe continues over there also in the Sicha. You have the two psukim over there. We started a few days ago. We talked about why the pasuk starts off with the case of you're working in a vineyard and then continues the case you're working in a field. And we ended up saying that actually the case of the vineyard, we didn't really need to teach us the basic concept. We learned the specific dinim of poel oichel from that pasuk. Why Taka does it put the vineyard first? So the Rebbe explains a vineyard, vine, grapes, represent like the extra things in life, the finer things in life. So they represent, that represents a person who's doing avoda in a way going beyond the basics. He's doing it mitzad avas Hashem. For sure, then, of course, the Eivishter is going to give him a certain amount of schar, a certain advance on his schar in Olam Hazeh, that he'll be able to eat on the job, so to speak. But even if you're working only with grain, you're only doing the minimum that you're expected to, nevertheless, the Eivishter still gives you what you need in this world in order that you should be able to continue doing your avoda.
Very nice.
Okay, now getting back to the Gemara. Okay. Mai, so what's the din? Do we say it's Mishaloi Hu Oichol or Mishal Shemayim Oichol? Tashma, Oichol Poyo, this question that we had, is he Mishaloi or Mishal Shemayim? For example, again, is he allowed to tell the Balabas, give it to my wife or children instead? Yeah. Tashma, the Mishnah had said, Oichol Poyo Kishu Svachil Bedinu, Kosev Svachil Bedinu. We said that he's allowed to eat a pumpkin or dates even to the value of a dinner. Now, if you're telling me that he's getting Mishaloi, that besides for his salary, he's getting this as an additional bonus to his salary, kind of, what's the logic? What are you telling me? He gets hired for 1/6 of a dinner. A danka means 1/6 of a dinner, and he's allowed to eat a whole dinner's worth. Is it logical that the bonus should be so much larger than the base salary? Okay, the Gemara says, "Elamai Mishal Shemayim." What? Come on. The Elamai Mishal Shemayim. Who's the Gemara asks right back? Okay, so what are you going to answer? You're going to say, and if it's Mina Shemayim, is that any better? Still, you could ask the same question. What's the logic that the Gemilas Chasadim, the Matnas Aniyim, should be so much larger than a salary? Elamai Islachomem, Rachmon is Zachile. You must say that, yes, the Torah is Mazakahim, Matnas Aniyim is Matnas Aniyim, regardless how much it is. Well then, Hochanami Rachmon is Zachile. Fine, you could say over here the Torah is Mazakahim a bonus. I at 6 times his salary? Doesn't matter. Sometimes, yeah, it can happen. The bonus is much larger. Yeah.
But people are giving to the other. Here he's taking by himself.
Same difference, though. The point is the owner has to allow him to take.
So Toshma. Not given right from the Torah.
No, but that we don't know yet. We don't know whether it's Mishaloi or Mishal Shemayim. That's what we're trying to figure out. That's this sugya of trying to figure out whether it's Mishaloi or Mishal Shemayim is going to go till the next mission. It's outside of Gimel of an Aleph. So we'll do some of it today and the rest of it tomorrow, against the Shema. Toshma, the Mishnah continued, that Rabbi Loza Chisma says the worker is not allowed to eat an amount greater than his salary, and the Chachamim say it's mutter. My lab, isn't that the underlying machlokes? The Marisav Mishaloi Oichel, or Marisav Mishashamayim Oichel. Evidently, then, Rabbi Loza Chisma holds Mishaloi Oichel, it's basically a bonus on top of the salary, therefore it's not logical that the bonus should be greater than the salary, therefore you can't. And the Chachamim would be saying Mishal Shemayim Oichel, and therefore there's no limit. The answer is Loi. To Kula Amo Mishaloi Oichel. Now, both of them might agree that Mishaloi Oichel, it is considered a bonus. What it might be is the machlokas between Rabbi Loza Chisma and the Chachamim in our Mishnah might turn on the meaning. What does it mean when the pasuk says, what does the word kinashacha teach us? So, marsava kinashacha means v'davash ha-moitza nafshar olav. Rabbi Loza Chisma holds the word kinashacha means only to the extent that you are moitza nefesh on it. Now, working in a field or whatever can be sometimes a dangerous job. That the Torah mentioned in connection with the mitzvah of paying a worker on time, which we'll discuss in 20 blocks or so, the pasuk uses the expression, the elog who knows sayeth nafsho, that he lifts up his soul to it, and the Gemara mentions over there, Rashi brings it on the pasuk in Parashat Kisetzeh, that a person is even willing to go into physical danger for his work, and that's why you have to pay him on time. So therefore, only kenafshecha, only to the extent that he is being moser nefesh, meaning the equivalent of a salary, is the amount that kenafshecha that you're allowed to eat. Therefore, you can't eat more than your salary is worth. Umar sava kenafshecha, whereas the chachamim of our Mishnah hold that no, kenafshecha means, as we learned the other day, ma nafshecha im chasam tepater, as part of them chasam tepater, that we make it makes a hekesh between you, the balabas, and the worker. Just like you, the balabas, if you were to muzzle yourself and prevent yourself from eating the feiras, you're perfectly allowed to. So also the poyel, if you prevent him, you're potter, you're not chayav malchus for it, you're also to do it, because you're over on the mitzvah, say, but there's no specific punishment involved. Although there is, again, we talked about the other day, there's a machlokas for showing him whether you would be obligated to pay the worker afterwards for the amount that he could have been expected to eat and you prevented him, but whatever. You wouldn't be chayv malchus is the point. Yeah. So that might be the machlokas, you have a lot of chisma and machachamim, so not necessarily anything to do with mishaloy or mishal shamayim.
There again, we don't have
so we still don't have a proof. Again, we're going to go through like 7 or 8 proofs before we get there. Tashma. Nazir Shama Tznula Ishtir Banav. Suppose a Nazir is working in a vineyard. A Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. Then he says, I can't eat on the job. Therefore, give some to my wife or children. And Shaman, like, we don't listen to him. We say, I'm not obligated to do that. If you want me to feed them, you have to take a reduction in your salary or whatever. Yeah. Now, the Yamat Mishaloi Ho Oichal, Amai Yen Shaman Loi, Lechura, if it's a bonus for him, then, like we said before, if we said that it's a bonus, then he's allowed to give it to whoever he wants. Lechura, then he should be allowed to give it to his wife or children. The answer is no. Hasam, no. There's a different reason why, in the case of a Nazir, we're not going to allow it. Maybe it's true Mishaloi Ho Oichal, and it is a bonus, and in principle, he could give it to whoever he wants. However, when it's a Nazir working in a vineyard, we don't want him to give it to anybody because he shouldn't be working there in the first place. Mishum lech lech amrin nizira, because as the expression goes in a few places in Shas, we say to the nazir, go, schur schur, around and around, lekamra leitzikrav, don't go anywhere near the vineyard. Since you also eat grapes, keep yourself far away from it so you don't come, keep yourself out far away from trouble, yes. So therefore, in other words, in that case, we cancel him, therefore, because you went and hired yourself out for a job involving grapes, where you, as another, shouldn't even be anywhere near a grape, near a vineyard, therefore we are going to cancel you and prevent you from giving this bonus to your wife and children. Not necessarily, though, in a different case, where just he doesn't want to eat it because he doesn't like the taste or whatever, and he wants, maybe that would be different, maybe he'd be allowed to.
But if he's like 30 days, he's got to eat it at the time he's working.
Say what?
Yeah, once he's 30 days until the Nazirus is over.
Fine, once the Nazirus is over, he's not a Nazir anymore.
He takes it now, but he waits 6 days.
El Kelly Chalei Sitting, you're not allowed to take it home. You have to eat it right there on the job. That's what we've been discussing all this time. Tashma, Hoyo Sha'ama Tznula Ishtir Ubane and Shemin Lai. Okay, another Brightest just says generically, if a worker says, give it to my wife or children, we don't listen to him. The Yam Mishaloi Ho Oichal Amai and Shemin Lai. If it's his own thing, if it's his own bonus, why can't he give it to them? Again, the answer is my poil nazir. The poil of this braisa means specifically a nazir. So for the same reason we just said. Okay, Valtanya nazir, Valtanya poil. What do you mean? We have one braisa that says nazir. We have another one that says poil. Lachora poil means generically. The answer is, the Gemara says, midi gabi hadadi tanyan. So what? Were these two braisas necessarily taught together? These braisas could have come from different bote medrash. Each base medrash had each tana had his own style. One tana specifically used the word nazir. The other one said generically poil, but he expected us to understand that it means specifically a poil who was a nazir. Tashma. How do we know that if the worker says, give it to my wife or children, we don't listen to him? Because the pasuk says, don't put it into your kelim. So we see that he's not allowed to. No, but that's the point. In other words, don't give it to me. Don't allow me to eat it. Let them eat it instead. Since it doesn't have to literally mean giving it to them. I mean, the worker himself is not giving it by the balabas. So you're going to answer, okay, this is yet another braisa talking about a nazir. What do you mean? Is the issur. What you just said about a nazir is that issur d'rabbanan, that you shouldn't go near the vineyard and therefore we're going to cancel you. So therefore, the braisa can't mean that it's talking about a nazir. It must be talking generically about a poil. And there you go. The poil is not allowed to give this bonus to anybody else. So it's not a bonus. It's matnas aniyim. It's a matana specifically to him from the Eishter, and he can't transfer it to anybody else. The answer is... The answer is enochinami. That's true. However, the idea to katani labalosh and poil, it is true that the braisa is actually talking about a nazir. Sa'aydi, the Katani, the Lashon Poyo, but since the Braisa uses the word Poyo, which generically means a Poyo, Kanasiv Lakra the Poyo, so therefore it uses the positive referring to a Poyo. But not to say that the Braisa is not necessarily saying that this is also Midaraisa. It may only mean we're talking about a Poyo who is a Nazir and it's only also Midrabanan. However, once we use the word Poyo, then it's a natural thing to continue by mentioning the positive. That the mentioned pasuk that applies to a poyo, even though technically it's not mitzad the pasuk is only an asmachta over here. It's really only the takana dirabanan because we can't say the nazir.
We're saying we're talking about a poyo who's
we're
a
talking
nazir,
about a poyo who's a nazir, but midrabanan. But we use as an asmachta, we use the pasuk midaraisa, but not to say that it's an, not to say that it's a din daraisa.
That's a far stretch.
Okay, but it's still it's possible to say. Toshma, let's try one more. Hasochar the poyo lekatzes v'teinim. If you hire a worker to dry out figs in the field, to spread them out in the field to dry them, he's allowed to eat from them and his potter from ma'aser because it's not yet nigmar malachon. The work with them hasn't been finished yet with them because until they're dried out, until they're spread out and dried out, they're not chayiv in ma'aser. However, if he says to the owner, I'm working, I'm manas that I and my son, and the son is not working over here, the son is just there along for the ride, that should work. Or he says that I'm manas that my son should be allowed to eat as part of my salary. So he is allowed to eat in his potter because he has the din of poyel oichel. The son, when he eats, is going to be chayev. If it's considered a bonus, why is the son any more chayiv and meiser than the father? L'chura, it's the same bonus. It belongs to the father, right. So Ravina says, yes, but the difference is because once he's transferring it to his son, since he's making a deal that his son is going to be allowed to eat it, then it's similar to buying it. And once you buy it, once you sell it, then as we learned a few days ago, at that point it becomes chayiv and meiser midrabanan. So that's the reason. Maybe you could say, in other words, maybe Taka, you are allowed to give it to the son. Maybe Taka, the owner, has to follow that and has to give it to the son. However, because it was bought at that point, therefore it's chayiv and meiser.
He gives it to the son, doesn't buy it.
So that's the point. In other words, the poyel has effectively bought it on behalf of his son. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.